right. Well, by the grace of God, we are celebrating 5 years as a church today, and I'm just so excited for what God has for us today. It's been an incredible journey. God's done so many great things. We started literally as 8 people in a living room, just talking and praying about starting a church. Over the last 5 years, we've grown to over 700 people. We've seen over 400 people make a first-time decision for Jesus in the past 5 years. We didn't keep track early on, so we kind of have to guess at those numbers. We're keeping track now, but it's at least over 400 people have made a first-time decision for Jesus to accept Him as their Lord and Savior. We've had over 190 baptisms in the past 5 years, which is just incredible as well. I wanted to share a few numbers with you all I want you guys to know how special this is, what God is doing here. I think we all kind of know this doesn't happen every day in most church experiences, but I eat, sleep, and breathe church leadership and church planting, and so starting to come into a season as well where other churches reach out and ask for our help to get started or to start new churches, and how have you guys seen this happen, and things like that. And so I'm a student of church leadership and church planting, and I've learned a few things over the last few years. I want to share this with you. You may not know this. 4 out of every 5 new churches fail. Church planting is an extremely difficult thing, and it's just not super, there's not a high success rate. 4 out of every 5 fail, which means they start, they try it for a few years, and it just doesn't come together, doesn't work out for a variety of reasons, and so they throw in the towel and they fail. Also, about 95% of churches in America of any age, whether they're a new church or have been around forever, you know, since our country was started or something, over 95% of churches are less than 500 people. Okay, and so I just want to give you a picture, especially in an age in the last 30 years where attendance in church is in a steep decline, okay, and across almost all denominations or any flavor of church, Catholic, Protestant, whatever. And so in that environment, with these realities, in the last 5 years, we've not only started, but we've flourished, and we've seen God do incredible things. And so I just want to share that with you so you have a picture, a glimpse of how special this is to be sitting here in this moment and looking back and going, wow, look what God is doing, and we're just a really healthy church. We're in a really healthy place, even with, you know, our leadership and with how things are going, and it's the best is yet to come. That's not something we just say and throw out there. Like, we really believe it, and everything is, all signs are pointing that way as well. And so it really is really, 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 really special, and we do not want to take that for granted. We don't ever want to take that for granted as a church. And so if you're new with us today, this is an incredible Sunday for you to be here, because I want to share a little bit about our church's story. And so you might be new and be like, man, that's awesome, this is great, but I'm new. How in the world did y'all get here? Like, what is the story of this place? And I don't want to share that with you today. We're in this series we started last week called Everyone. And it's a series based on 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, which says God wants everyone to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God cares about everyone. Everyone matters to God. Everyone needs Jesus. And God does not discriminate. God wants every single person on this planet to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, because God's everyone's father, and He wants to spend eternity with everyone. But He's given us this thing called free will, you know, and so we get to choose, and we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all chosen against God at one time or another. And so that's why we do what we do, is to tell people about Jesus and help them come to know Him. And so that's kind of what we talked about last week. That's what our church is all about. It's all about Jesus, as Kanan, our worship leader, shared during communion today. It's all about Jesus. We want people to know Jesus. This is for everyone. And so we talked about that last week. And I talked about last week how God's goal is to reach everyone, but he always starts with one, right? When God wants to reach a given community or a given area, he's like, who can I use? You, right? And he starts with one person. He sends them to wherever he wants them to go. And then they start a work. They start telling people about Jesus. And then eventually a church is formed. A church is simply, in the Greek, ekklesia. It means the called out ones of God. You're called out of darkness into his wonderful light. You're called out from your private little world, doing your thing, following your selfish will, into the community of God, the fellowship of believers, which is the church. That's what a church is. That's what we are, you know, the called out ones of Jesus in this community. And so God's goal is to reach everyone in Brown County. God's goal is to reach everyone in this area. And this is the area that we have been commissioned with, right? Because this is where we live, right? And so God's goal is to reach everyone, but he always starts with one. And so the story of Resonance starts with me, right? And this desire that God planted in my heart, probably it first started probably back in 2007, but 2008 was the year where I really felt very strongly called to do this. You have to know, I grew up in this area. I went to Eastern Mount High School, went to a church out of past Winchester in the middle of nowhere, grew up going to church out there. And you have to know, I had no plans on ever being in ministry. It was not even on my radar. It was not an ambition of my life. Preaching was not I enjoy it, you know. I know God has called me to do it. It's not like a first love of my life, you know. It's my love, my passion growing up was music. And I wanted to be a rock star, you know, that's what I wanted. And I wanted to be the next Eddie Van Halen there for a little while, you know. So I enjoyed playing guitar a lot, and I grew up playing guitar in church and stuff, but that was my plan in life. And I followed my wife, who was then my girlfriend, to a Christian college. I didn't even go to a Christian college because I was such a good little Jesus boy. Like, she's like, oh, that's where she's gone. I'm going to go there. I went to Indiana Wesleyan University. I did not get a degree in ministry because I didn't want to be in ministry. I had no plans on it. I got a degree in leadership and communications. For a few years there during college, I kind of walked away from God. I didn't kind of walk away from God. I really walked away from God. I quit going to church and I partied and I got wasted a lot and did a lot of things I regret, things that I should not have been doing. But I had this foundation of Jesus, you know, and I had accepted Christ when I was like 10 and got baptized and stuff. But, you know, for a few years in college, walked away. And then one night, in a very strong way, God brought me back. You know, I thought I was going to die one night. I was having what they call a panic attack or anxiety attack. I never had one before that point. I've never had one since, if that tells you anything. It was like that night, God's like, and tonight you're going to stop living this way. And he used this panic attack. I thought I was going to die. I was still in that really dark place. Anxiety, suicidal thoughts, stuff like that going on in my life at that time. And drove myself to the hospital, and I thought I was dying. I couldn't breathe. I was freaking out. And I did the only thing I knew to do, and I called upon the name of Jesus. And I was like, Jesus, if you save me, I will quit living this way, and I will live for you the rest of my life. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just don't let me die. Because I thought I'd been raised up in the church, and I'm like, I know people go one or two places, all right? And I'm not sure where I'm going to go, because I have not been living the life of Jesus, you know? And so I called upon his name, and, you know, I didn't die, you know, believe it or not. I mean, I didn't die that night, and so I'm still here. But I got up the next day, and things were different. God, the Holy Spirit just took over my life and changed my heart and empowered me to start living for God. I gave up the party lifestyle and started walking with God, and I finished up college. We moved back to this area. You know, we got married. We had our first kid. I was a mortgage loan officer, and I was doing that, and I was miserable. All right, I just knew this is not for me, you know, and I just had this prevailing sense, I want to make a difference with my life for Jesus, for God. You know, I was serving in the church I grew up in as a worship leader and with serving with the youth and stuff, and, you know, I loved that, and I wanted to help my friends know Jesus, and my wife and I were passionate about that, and I had this experience that really marked me, that I invited one of my friends who did not know Jesus, who desperately needed Jesus, to church, because like, man, he needs Jesus, he's got a lot going on in his life, invited him to our church. He came to our church. This guy was a mechanic, and so came to our church. I tell you that because, you know, he walks into our church. He's wearing what he wears every day, blue jeans, t-shirt. Comes in, and we have church, and, you know, our church was a good church. We weren't judgmental at all, but there was kind of this, you know, it's expected, unspoken expectation. You're supposed to dress up. You know, you're supposed to do the deal, and it's, you're coming to church. You know, give your best to God. You know, that type of thing. And he didn't know that. I didn't tell him that because it's not like a rule. It's just this unspoken. It's just the culture, you know. So I'm like, just be who you are. That's cool with me. He didn't feel like it was cool, though. You know what I'm saying? And so I followed up with him the next week. I was like, so how'd it go, man? Like, what'd you think of church? And he said this, and this just cut me to the heart at that time. He said, Aaron, I'm not like you. He's like, I didn't grow up in church, so I don't get it. And he's like, I came to your church. I tried. He said, I was the only one dressed like me. He's like, everybody was all dressed up. He said, I don't even own those types of clothes. Like, I'm a mechanic. I don't even own those types of clothes. And he's like, the music was weird. Like, he literally said, the music was weird. Now, you know what he's talking about if you grew up in church. Like, the hymns, the old hymns, right? Now, listen, I grew up in church. I love the old hymns, believe it or not. You might not know that about me. I do. They're very nostalgic, all right? If I hear an old hymn, somebody singing one somewhere, if I go visit another church, like, I get teared up. I'm like, oh, I'm Christ the solid rock. You know, I just, whoo! You know, it just speaks to me. Like, I got that in my bones. It's in my blood. I get it. He didn't get it. He didn't have that. He didn't grow up that way. And let's be honest. I mean, some of you can't fathom this, but try to imagine you didn't grow up in church, and so you grew up listening to the music of the culture, and you walk into a place, and it's old-timey, they're in a ragtime piano and organ singing what you think are really weird songs, you know? And that was his experience. And he's like, man, I didn't get it. I'm not like you guys. I tried. You know, basically, thanks, but no thanks. And it broke my heart because I thought, man, this was supposed to be the big opportunity for him to be able to come to know Jesus, you know, and start getting some things straightened out in his life. And my wife and I talked, and we're like, what are we going to do? Like, because we were seeing our friends. A lot of my friends went the way I went the party lifestyle, gave up on church, and I was one of the very few that came back. And so we're looking at the landscape, people we grew up with going, where are they? You know, we need to invite them back. And I'm worried, you know, like, if I invite them to where we're at, what if they have that similar experience? You know, we need to not worry about, you know, we want to cut through all the red tape of religion and just make it about Jesus. We don't care what you wear. We don't care what kind of music it is. Let's just make it about Jesus and do it in a way that stuff doesn't matter. It's not a hindrance, right? And so another way, I heard another pastor say it like this. When somebody comes into church, I don't want anything to offend them except the gospel, right? If the gospel is going to offend them, let the gospel offend them. But I don't want anything else to be a hindrance, right? And so that was our heart at that time. And we were like, man, maybe we could start a Bible study, right? And in our house or something like that. And it would always get to this impasse where we couldn't move beyond it because I would say to my wife, yeah, that's a great idea, but who's going to lead that? And she would go, you are. And I would go, I can't do that. I'm a guitar player. I don't talk. Literally, we had that conversation 5 or 6 times over the course of the year of 2007. And over that year, you know, God used the angst of my work situation to kind of stir me up and actually open my heart up to actually consider ministry. Like, wow, Aaron, and there were some spiritual moments in there where the Holy Spirit spoke very clearly. And I was like, wow, I think God's called me to ministry. I sought counsel. They're like, you play music, you love music, a lot of good churches looking for a good worship leader. What if you did that? I'm like, I honestly didn't think I could. That's why I'd never considered it. I've always played guitar. I didn't even start singing till my last year of college. That's when I started trying to actually sing and lead worship. And so I just didn't even think I could. I didn't think I was good enough to do the stuff that happens on a stage in a church, if you know what I'm saying. That's why I had never considered it, in case you were wondering. And so God's like, well, what if you did this? I'm like, okay, I'll try it, you know? And this church in Detroit was like, we want to hire you. And I was like, man, they're crazy, you know, but they want to hire me. And so they hired me, and I went up there. I was a worship leader up there for 5 years total. But my first year there, the pastor asked me if I wanted to speak. I was like, I'll try, you know. And I found that when I spoke, it was just the Holy Spirit. I can't explain it to you. I felt in a way that I'd never felt before, and I knew, like, whoa, something is happening right now. This is not me. And stuff happened, you know. Lives were changed. People would come up to me and be like, you got a gift, dude. Like, you need to do that more often. And my pastor let me preach every 6 to 8 weeks up there, and I started learning. It was a process of self-discovery. I sat on the leadership team at that church, and, you know, a lot of people who come to church are like, they want no part of, like, the leadership circles or making decisions and, like, I don't want to do that. And I loved it. I was like, I love talking about planning how we're going to do things, because that matters. You know, it matters. It's how you set up a culture that makes a difference, you know, and I loved it. I loved every part of it. And I was like, man, this is awesome. And I'd only been at that church. I'd been at the church less than a year. So I'd started preaching. I'm like, wow, I didn't know I could do some of this. This is amazing. I love church leadership. And we went to a conference. And I think I was probably about 24 years old at the time. And we went to this conference. And we had one free pre-conference ticket. And nobody knew what the pre-conference was about. And it was a free ticket they gave us for getting a group of tickets to the conference. And so I was the only, like, ministry rookie, you know. I was very green. And so they're like, hey, we got this free pre-conference ticket. Does anybody want to go in our group, or we'll just give it away? And I was like, none of them wanted to go. I was like, I'll go. I'm trying to learn. I don't know what it's about, but I'll just learn whatever there is to learn. And so I roll up in there. The whole day was about church planning, starting new churches. And two of the nation's leaders on church planning spoke that day. And I'm telling you, I didn't know it, but God lit a fire on my heart. I just was like, this is amazing. You know, I learned that starting new churches was the most effective way to reach new people and make new disciples with the gospel. I heard all these incredible stories about starting new churches. I was just like, it's not only the most effective way in our day and age, it's the most biblical way. Right? That's what they did. They started a church. The Apostle Paul went around and started churches, right? It's God's method to reach people. I was just like, wow, this is amazing. Literally, the churches I grew up going to were started in the 1800s, all right? When the churches started, before anyone who is there, it was even alive, it never occurs to you, or at least it didn't occur to me, oh, somebody had to start this thing. Like, somebody had to get this going, right? I didn't even know church planting was a thing at that point in my life. And so I was like, wow, there's people who do this for a job. That's incredible. And I was just blown away. And that's all I thought. I felt this strong pull, but that was it. About a month or two later, I was sitting at home, and I opened up to do my devotion, daily devotion, like I always did. And I looked at, you know, what chapter am I supposed to read today on my little, I'm going to check the box. And it was Matthew 28. And I go, oh, I know what that is. Read it many times. That's the Great Commission. All right, so it's like, oh, I know what's coming. Not really expecting much to happen, because, you know, you think you know it all. You know, I've read this before. And if you've never heard it, I want to read it for you. This is what Matthew 28 says. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. This is after he died on the cross, after he rose from the dead, triumphing over sin and death, proving himself to be the one and only Son of God. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he said this, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Now, I knew that was coming. I knew what it said. I knew what it was about. I'd read it many times and thought, oh, that's nice. Yep. Good for us as Christians. We're supposed to make disciples. But that day, something special happened, and I can't explain it other than the Holy Spirit just gripped my heart, and it's like he pushed this button, and he personalized Matthew 28 to me, and it was like the Holy Spirit was saying, Aaron, I want you to go and make disciples. And the first thought I had was, oh my goodness, I'm supposed to start a church back where I'm from in Ohio. That's what I'm supposed to do. That is my calling. That's what I'm supposed to do. And so that day, literally that day, I was so pumped about it. I got this Peter personality, kind of impulsive, especially when God speaks to me. I kind of tend to think I'm supposed to do this right now, you know? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to quit my job. I need to go start a church right now, like tomorrow, this weekend, we're moving, like first Sunday, woo, right? This was in the fall of 2008. I think I was 24 years old. And I was like, woo, I need to do this. I've been in ministry all of like 9 months, right? But I called a few of my friends who grew up in this area, people that I'd known. I knew a few of them really well. A couple of them I didn't know that well. I just felt very strongly impressed to call them because these were young people about my age at that time that loved Jesus. And I didn't know what this young church or this new church was supposed to be, but I was like, it's supposed to be that. When I look at these people and how they live their lives for Jesus, it's that, right? We don't care about religion. We don't care about the style of music. We don't care about how you dress. We care about Jesus. Like, it's supposed to be that. And I just felt led to call these very particular people. And I said to all of them, hey, I just had this experience with God. I feel like I'm supposed to start a church back where we're from. If I did that, would you guys do it with us? And all of them were like, man, that's really interesting. We'll think about it. We'll pray about it. Now, y'all, it was a journey of about 4 years figuring this out. For like a year and a half, I tried to make it happen on my own. I spun my wheels. I got so discouraged, I gave up completely. Told God, if you ever want me to do this, you're going to have to do something. And I'm giving up for now. And I did that for over a year. And then God brought it all back up and was like, he started making some things happen. And it was like, all right. And it was evident, like, it's time. We're doing this. And we partnered with an incredible organization called Converge worldwide, and they help start and strengthen churches. And so they're very successful at it, and I met with a lot of them, and there was a lot of resonance, if I can use that word, resonated deeply with who they are, and the Holy Spirit was moving in all of it. And so they helped support us. We had a few churches support us financially, which obviously was one of the big obstacles to overcome. And we, in early 2013, all the pieces were in place, and we moved down back to this area after having lived in Detroit for 5 years to get started preparing to start Resonance Church. We had about a year of what we would call pre-launch, where we literally just started meeting. Those original families that I called met us in one of their living rooms, all right? And that's how we started. In 2013, before we really started public services. In fact, I think we have a picture of one of these living room encounters, right? This is Resonance Church. That's about all who was there that day, all right? You're looking at it. That's in a house down close to Russellville. You might recognize the dude in the middle there in the purple V-neck. That's Jamie Warren, our youth pastor. You might recognize Kenton Bailey on the cajon there. He has a massive beard now and looks very different, but that's him. And his wife Tasha, who was our first Res Kids director, starting out. But on the left there, you might recognize Shelby Riley, who was Shelby Maddox back then. That's her boyfriend, who's now her husband, and they have two kids now. They didn't have any back then, but she's our worship pastor now. And then the rest of our core team was there somewhere. Some of them aren't in the picture, but that's how we did it for like 8-9 months, just meeting in houses. As you notice, the kids are just in there with us, you know? And it was chaotic and noisy, and we'd pray, and babies are crying. We're like, that's all right. This is church. This is it. You know, living the dream right there. And we got started. We started inviting more people into it, and we grew over that year. We just did a Bible study. A lot of weeks I didn't even play a song. You know, we just get in there and be like, all right, we're going to start a church. Let me read the Bible. Let's talk about how we're going to do this. And we did that weekly. And then we grew to about 40 adults and close to 40 kids before we officially started. And then on April 6th, 2014, we had our first service in the Pike Township Community Center on 774. 135 people showed up to church that day. And over the course of 2014, we grew the church from 135 to about 80. Okay? And so, all right, so you get a sense of how that year went. and so that was 2014. We were meeting in Pike Township. We averaged about 80 people total. That's men, women, kids, pregnant people, we're counting you as two, all right? That's how you roll as a church planner, because you got to stay encouraged in the Lord, you know? You know, it's like, Lord, we only had 79. He's like, so-and-so is pregnant. Life starts at conception, man. Count him as two. All right, Lord, thank you, Jesus. All right. And so that's how that went, and we still count that way. And so in 2015, we moved into this facility, and we grew, and we averaged about, we almost doubled in size that year over the course of the year. I had about 160 people on an average Sunday that year. 2016, we went to two services in this facility, and we almost doubled in size again that year. We had about 300 people on an average week in 2016. That's also the year we drilled two clean water wells in Uganda, Africa, if you remember that. Actually, that was the very, very end, the Christmas of 2015, I believe. And then 2017, we went to three services in this facility. We grew again, and we averaged about 500 people that year. And then 2018, which was last year, we had our major renovation project, the This Is Next campaign. And so this facility, up until last year, if you're new with us today, this room was half as big, okay? Try to fathom that. In fact, where you see the little jut out over there, that was the back wall. And we had a stage, and we had the sound booth. It was tight. That's why we had three services. And so the renovation project cost over $200,000. These people you're sitting next to gave so generously. We paid for it all in cash. It is now completed as of this past Christmas. Praise the Lord Jesus. Yeah. And we grew last year. We averaged over 600 people so far this year. We went back to two services, but we're actually growing because we have more space now. Thank the Lord for that again. And we've been averaging over 700 people this year. We had a record attendance last week of over on a non-holiday, so not Christmas or Easter weekend, of over 830 people at church last weekend in two services. So that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And so here we are. You know, there's been a lot of ups and downs. There's been hard weeks. There's been amazing weeks. And that's kind of the short version of how we got to where we are. And those are the numbers. You know, those are the numbers. You know, we share, from eight people in the living room to over 700 people and all these people getting saved and baptized. And those are the numbers, you know. But numbers are important. You know, some churches get weird about numbers. Well, you're all about numbers. You shouldn't be about numbers, isn't that? The Bible's about numbers. Go read the book of Acts. They counted. They knew how many people were accepting Jesus. And here's why. And here's why numbers are important to us. They're a sign of church health. They're a sign of people accepting Jesus. They're a sign of God moving. But here's really what it's all about. Every number has a name. Every name has a story. And every story is important to God. Every story matters to God. And so those are just the numbers, but those numbers represent dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of stories of life change. And so just to give you an idea of what it really looks like in someone's life, what God has been doing in this church over the last 5 years, we asked y'all to submit some stories, and we shot some videos, and we want to share a few of those stories of life change that have happened in this church over the last 5 years. And so check this out, and then we'll continue with our service.
Never in my life could this be happening. 5 years ago, I was living in an abandoned house in Ashridge, Ohio, addicted to all types of drugs and alcohol. I had no idea who Jesus Christ was. I had the opportunity to change the direction I was going, and was blessed to go to a life-changing rehab in Dayton, Ohio. After I finished in Dayton, I moved back to Sardinia and started attending Residence Church every Sunday with my girlfriend and two daughters. I jumped in with my whole heart and fell into a group of friends that I would say are now my brothers and sisters. God and the Holy Spirit began to move mountains very quickly for me and my family through Residence Church. I was the first to be saved in my family. I got to witness and baptize both of my parents and my wife into eternity at Residence Church. Months later, I attended an Open Heavens Ministry Conference in the evenings after work and found even more freedom through deliverance prayer. I again continued to be blown away as I watched my family follow in a freedom march as their chains were being broken and they were set free. An opportunity to become more involved was delivered through another friend at church. I began to watch how God was moving within his young res kids, and I knew he told me to help introduce them to Jesus. So now 4 years later, I am and have been completely turned over to Christ. No drugs, no alcohol. Married my best friend. Watched both my parents come to Christ. I'm a growth group leader, a teacher in Res Kids, and a man of God. I've had countless Jesus encounters and seen and received salvation and healing, and have many generational curses broken. Residence Church is where I meet him every Sunday morning. Thank you for your opportunity and a place where I can continue to walk with Jesus. If you would have told me 5 years ago that God would use the darkest parts of my life to change my life and my family's lives, I would have said no way.
I was in the dark of drug abuse and my whole outlook on life was dim. I didn't care about anyone else but me. I felt like I didn't have a way out. When I was in the hospital, I met a great guy. I didn't know what it was I saw in him at the time, but later I realized it was God. He gave me a number for I-68 Ministry to help me get clean. I called them and they invited me into their home and told me about Jesus and took me to Residence Church. It changed my whole outlook on life and made me turn to God. I was baptized on my third week at Residence. During this time, I had started talking on the phone to my girlfriend Shannon, who was in jail. I told her how I got clean through Jesus and my church family. She wasn't sure about the whole God thing at first, but she sensed a change in me that she also wanted.
Chaos, low self-esteem, destruction, depression, and anxiety are just a few words to describe most of my life. I used many drugs for many years. This felt like my only way out. Last year, I spent some time in jail along with an intense inpatient program. That gave me time to clear my head and begin to see life in a new way. I first came to Residence on September 30th, just 5 days after my release. I never liked church and was skeptical. But when I walked through the door, I immediately was greeted with friendly faces and was welcomed by so many wonderful people, and I instantly felt at ease. The worship music blew me away. The vibe was awesome. I enjoyed the sermon too. It was broken down very easily for me to understand, and it made it interesting. I couldn't wait to go back the next week. After about 4 weeks, I decided to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That day, I will never forget. The warmth and love that filled my heart is unexplainable. It was like I became a new person inside. All the resentment and fear I was holding on to just diminished. I continued to grow my relationship with Jesus. My boyfriend, Stephen Witt, is now my husband. If it weren't for him, I wouldn't be here, and I would not know Jesus. We both have come a long way, and there's nothing but great things that lie ahead for us, as long as we continue to grow in our relationship with Christ.
When I first came to Residence, I was 15, 16 years old. I was invited by my best friend, and it was during the Man vs. Wife series. This series hit me hard even though I wasn't married or engaged, but my parents were divorced when I was in the fifth grade, and that came with a lot of emotional trauma. I never really grew up in church, but when I went, I was invited or stayed with a friend. I came to Resonance, a damaged teen girl who suffered from cyberbullying on top of anxiety, depression, and suicidal thoughts. I struggled with self-harm and not wanting to live in general. I would have anxiety attacks and crying fits on the regular. I had very few friends as well, and none that were in my grade at school, so I felt alone a lot. I came close to committing one night, but by the grace of God, my mom came home earlier than what I expected, so I ended up stopping myself. A short time after that, my mom found out I was self-harming and made me start seeing a therapist, and I was put on antidepressants at age 15. Eventually, therapy didn't help much, so I quit going, and it was just the medication. I kept coming to Resonance because it was a place I felt wanted, at home, loved, and relieved from the pressures of my life outside of church. I was eventually baptized on April 17, 2016. I got deliverance prayer over the self-harming, and I've been free of that for 2 whole years now. I've also decided after the Don't Worry, Be Happy series that I wanted to fully rely on God for my struggles with anxiety and depression. I've been off medication for a little less than 2 years as well. Depression, anxiety, and loneliness affects a lot of teens today, and they deserve the freedom that this church and Jesus can give them like it did me. Thank you, Resonance. You're the best thing to happen to me. You rescued me.
Yeah, so that just gives you an idea of what God's been doing on a really personal level. Those are just 4 stories. There's dozens and dozens of stories like that. It's been incredible. And that's the stuff when people out there ask about our church, you know, you say a few numbers to give them a picture, but that's the stuff that really matters. And God has a way of including all the parts of our story and writing it into his story, you know? That's what I love about the Bible. Is you read the Bible, there is some messed up stuff in there, right? And God doesn't edit that out. Because ultimately, the Bible is not a story of perfect people who believe in God. It's the story of a perfect God who loves and heals and uses imperfect people for his glory. And then he writes us into his story and says, this is what I do. And he leaves the messed up parts in there so that we can see the contrast of darkness to light, so that we can see the contrast of our lives before and the difference that Jesus makes. And I was talking to our youth pastor, Jamie Warren, about that concept and about these stories that people wrote. You know, those were their stories. They wrote themselves and emailed us. And we said, hey, will you just read that for the camera, you know? And I was talking to Jamie Warren, our youth pastor, about this, and he's also a graphic designer. He's also an artist. And I said, man, is there a way that we could make maybe a piece of art, you know, for our 5th anniversary that just really symbolizes what God is doing here by using people's stories? Because every number has a name, every name has a story, and every story matters to God. And Jamie said, I think I've got an idea. And so Jamie, over the last few weeks, made this piece of art to celebrate our 5th anniversary. If you can't tell from where you're sitting, this is our logo, obviously, but you might not be able to tell. It's made up of words. Those words are all 4 of those stories that you just heard written word for word onto this canvas, including several other stories that were submitted that we chose as well. And those stories, every story that we used on this, it's representative of dozens of other stories of lives that have been changed through what God has done here. And so Jamie made this beautiful piece of art, and it just, that's what God does. You know, he takes our story and he writes it into his story. And through Jesus, he changes lives. And this is what a church is. You know, this is our logo. It represents our church. But that's what a church is. It's not, we're not perfect people. You know, we're far from it. But we serve a perfect God. We serve, we're not always faithful to him, but he's always faithful to us. And that is the story of our church. I wanna close today by celebrating and honoring some people who helped start our church. In fact, the book of Romans, there's a verse that says it this way. Romans, let's see here, chapter 13, verse 7. It says, give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. And there's some people that I would like to honor today. And that's our core team. It's myself and my wife, but other than us, 10 other individuals that were here from the very beginning, long before our first service, that helped start this church. And so if you're on our core team, would you guys please come on up here? And you guys can just line up here in front. You know, we're to the point now where we have people who will email our church, other people who are wanting to start churches, people who maybe are just leading churches and they haven't experienced growth or they haven't seen God do the things that he's done here. And they're like, man, how have you guys seen God do this? How has this happened? What have you guys been doing? You know, they ask us all these questions, and the answer is definitely the Holy Spirit. You know, the answer is definitely Jesus himself moving in our midst. But the way God works is through his people, right? And on a very practical level, do you know how God has done this over the last 5 years? Because regular, everyday people that love Jesus invite people to church, they serve, and they give financially. Like on the most practical level, if we want to talk really practically, that's how God uses us and has done this the last 5 years. This church would not exist without these people. These were the people that I called when I had this passion to start a church. And I knew I couldn't start it on my own. I needed help, you know. And I didn't, you know, some of them I knew better than others. I didn't know some of them that well at all. But over the course of serving together the last 5 years, we've become best friends. I don't know if I would be in ministry right now if it weren't for these people. Because there were times when it has just been so, so, so difficult, especially in the early days. And you can, when you're the only one on staff, you can feel really isolated. And these people were there for me. And from even before day one, I mean, they helped get this church off the ground. They invited people. We joke around, and it's really not joking, that like the first 100 people that came to this church were because of, they knew Tasha Bailey somehow. And she's like Miss Social Butterfly, and she's awesome. And she's like, hey, we're starting a church. And like, okay, cool. You know, and they would just show up. And I'm like, wow, okay, all right. You know, and all of them have played in an amazing role. They've all invited people. They've all prayed. They've all served and helped get our kids ministry off the ground. And when we started in the Pike Township, they were the one leading all the teams and doing all the stuff every week. They all gave financially. My wife and I ate and had a roof over our head starting out because of these people, quite literally. And honestly, that's how we've been able to see God do things, you know, because it takes people serving, it takes people giving, it takes us, God moving through his people. We are his ambassadors. God's making his appeal through us. And here's the amazing part. You know, these are the people, they've not only done that since the beginning, but they've met at least monthly, sometimes weekly, meetings outside of church to talk about really big, important things. Whenever there's a crisis, and at the level we're at now, there's always a crisis in someone's life going on. Somebody's in crisis every week, you know, and these are the people that pray for you behind closed doors. Many of you, they've prayed for you. You don't even know it. They've wept tears over many of your lives. When you lose a loved one, and when you're going through hard stuff, and when your child's going crazy, and when your husband leaves, we sit and we cry and we pray together. These are the people. You know, when we got big decisions to make, should we renovate a building or go try to do something else? And these are the people who've sat in those meetings and had very hard discussions. These are the people. And so I wanted to take a moment to honor them, and we're going to do that here in a second. But I wanted to help them see this as well. And so if you would help me out in honoring them today, here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to ask some of you to stand up here in a second. And I'll tell you when, but here's who I would love to stand up, if you would. If you've ever been, if you've ever accepted Jesus here at Resonance Church, if you've ever been baptized at Resonance Church, if you've ever rededicated your life to Jesus at Resonance Church, or if it's any of those, or if prior to Resonance, you weren't really going to church, like maybe every now and then, but maybe maybe you grew up in church, but maybe there before Resonance, you weren't really going to church. Okay, not really. You know what I'm saying? If you're any of those categories in this place today, would you just go ahead and stand on up right now? Yes. They look uncomfortable, don't they? I know why. I know why. Because they're thinking, oh, it's not me. I mean, we didn't do anything. We're nothing special. Because they're humble. And that's exactly why God chose you to do this, all right? Thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys can have a seat. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's because these people started this thing, and along the way, let me tell you, I know that many, 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 many of you have showed up and said, you know what? We want to invite, we want to serve, we want to give as well. And so I'd love to honor some of you right now as well. If you serve in any way at Resonance right now, or you know what? Let's do it this way. If you serve at Resonance on any team in any way whatsoever, or if you've ever given financially, okay, in any way to Resonance, would you stand up right now? Yes. Yes. Thank you. Let me tell you, thank you so much, all right? Thank you so much. You guys can have a seat. Listen, if you're not standing up, please don't feel bad, all right? Please don't feel bad. I realize some of you are like, man, it's my first Sunday. Sorry. You know, like, that's okay. All right. But I just want to tell those of you who do serve, who do give here, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I want to finish honoring you guys by just, we have a small gift for you. And so we want to bring those out right now. I think we have those somewhere. They're coming. We got a smaller version of the artwork that Jamie created for each family, so y'all can hang this up wherever you want. My wife's holding a baby. We don't know what to do right now. All right. Okay. All right. Awesome. Thank you, guys. You guys can go back to your seats. Thank you, guys. Love you, guys. Oh, man, I love those people. We have one last story we want to share with you. It's the story of April Nixon, who is, now we call her our weekend teams director. She started out as our Res Kids director a couple years ago, and was doing that in a volunteer role. And then we ended up hiring her last year full time. And she now oversees all, not just Res Kids, but all of our teams that serve on a Sunday, on a weekend. Part of April's story was that she grew up in church. She accepted Christ at a young age, but then had some tough times in her adult years and kind of walked away from God for a little while. And when she came back to Christ, it was through Residence. And she wrote a post about a year ago about that experience and how God did that in her life. And I asked her, based on kind of the series we're in, if she would be willing to read that post via video for us and share that story with you all. And so this is April's story.
Because one person named Patrick Cross invited me to visit his church. Because one person named Erica Kirk would race me to the door and grab my arm right before I could slip out, just so she could say hello and ask how I was doing. Because one person named Tasha Bailey had such an infectious, joyful, and bright soul that invited me to find out why. Because one person named Aaron Kirk boldly spoke the word each Sunday, slowly helping to break down my walls. Because of one person named Josh Young suggested that I tell my story. Because one person named Marie Young encouraged me to say no to the good things so I could say yes to the great things. Because of the one, I went from walking into Resonance Church nearly 5 years ago, arms crossed and questioning my faith, to completely restored and walking in my calling. We've all had hundreds of thousands of one persons in our lifetimes, and these are only a drop in the bucket of mine. Don't ever think that your contribution to someone or something is meaningless or too small. Show, be, do. Someone might be depending upon your invite, compassion, laughter, message, suggestion, or encouragement. We're all a part of His beautiful and perfect orchestration. Be the one.
I love that. I love that. That idea of one person did this, one person did that, one person did that. And it wasn't any one person that affected April's life. It was a village. It was a community. It was an army of one persons, plural, that created a place where April could come back to faith in Jesus. And here's what I love about April's story. She wrote that post, you know, because of the one. Be the one. Someone needs you to be the one. And here's what I love about April's story. Now April is leading all of the one persons who are serving in our church and making a difference in this place to help many, many more people come to faith in Jesus. Like, how cool is that? You know, that's what God does. Yes, you can clap for that. That's awesome. And here's what I want to encourage you with. Because you might have walked in here today. Maybe today's your first week. Maybe when I had people stand up, you're like sitting like, oh, I don't do anything here. Oh, you know, and maybe you're feeling ashamed. Or maybe when we showed those other stories, you're like, man, you know, they all had a happy ending. Man, I'm still in that dark part of life. I don't know Jesus yet, or I'm not following Him yet. Or maybe I'm following Him, but I haven't seen God turn it all around yet. I don't have that happy ending yet. Here's what I want to encourage you with. God, what God has done for anybody in this place, He can do for you. I promise you that through the gospel. If you're willing to give Him this, if you're willing to surrender to Him, if you're willing to give Him everything, you can't hold anything back. I'm telling you, because whatever you hold back, that's what the enemy's going to use against you. I'm telling you. But if you give God everything, He will take your life. He will change your heart. It'll start on the inside. It'll work its way out. He'll start moving in your circumstances. He's going to intercede for you to bring all things in your life into accordance with your will. And He will do that for you if you are willing to invite Him in to be your Lord and Savior and to walk with Him and to go all in. And some of you at our 10-year anniversary, we're going to be showing your story. I believe that's totally possible in Jesus' name today, if you're willing to give him everything. Would you pray with me right now? Jesus, I just thank you for what you're doing in this place, Lord. I thank you for what you've done over the past 5 years. And God, I know it's just a drop in the bucket of what you want to do in this place moving forward. God, I pray right now for the people in this room who just feel like life's beating them up, who feel broken, who are in that dark part of life, God, the people who haven't given you everything yet, Jesus, the people who still need you, Lord, I pray that you would open up their hearts and minds to you right now, Jesus. And so right now, if you're in this place and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity to do that, because that's what this is all about. That's why we're here. And Jesus loves you and he cares about you as much as he does anybody else in this room. All of us have a story. Yours just might not be finished yet. And God wants to write a new chapter in your life. And so if you're here and you want to accept Jesus for the first time, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand here in a second. And if you raise your hand, I'm going to lead you in a very short prayer where you ask Jesus to save you and be your Lord and Savior. Because Romans 10 says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And if that's you, I'm gonna have everybody else in this room that's a believer in Jesus to pray out loud with you so that you're not alone. Every head bowed, every eye closed, this is between you and God. If that's you in this place, if you want to accept Jesus, just lift up your hand right now and say, that's me. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand back there. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see a couple hands up right now. Lift up your hand. Say, I want to accept Jesus today. Anybody else? I see a couple hands. Every believer in Jesus, let's pray out loud with those who've lifted up their hand today. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior. Give me the gift of your Holy Spirit. Make me brand new. Help me live for you every day of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Yeah.